Hey y'all, and welcome to episode 4 of Serendipity at the Numbers.
I'm King Edio here with my two co-hosts, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hey y'all, this is Simone the Water Bear.
Hey, what's up? This is Sorcerer from Serendipity.
In this episode, we take a chance to really start addressing our personal issues with music growth and development in our city and start a conversation with the youth on how we can make things better.
Stay tuned till the end to get our social medias and info about playlists featuring the artists talked about in this episode. Hope y'all enjoy.
We're just going to talk about issues in Portland with artists. Mm-hmm. In particular, we were invited to a panel from our boss here at The Numbers to represent for the youth. And the panel essentially was for Music Portland. And we were there to essentially represent the youth and give them our perspective of what is needed, mm-hmm. I guess, in Portland. Mm-hmm. How do we want to dive into this?
I think a good place to open is, first off, thank you, Music Portland, for having us on your panel.
Of course.
At the time of this recording, it was like a month maybe ago. We kind of took a lot of time to really like sink it all in and sink in the whole conversation and like really come together. And like, I just want to open in saying thank you. Would love to continue the conversation and all of that in between. Just thank you again for having us on.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I think some of the things that we have talked about was within the meeting in particular, mm-hmm. was, Just a general feeling that the panel really reflected the disconnect in Portland, mm-hmm. of like that disconnect of diversity, very much so dominance and whiteness in, mm-hmm. the media space, in the entertainment space, in music. But like, yeah, just the need for that diversification, obviously the need for more youth, mm-hmm. and us being the introducees of that, we definitely felt like there was a little disconnect.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk about a little bit more, Sosha, of like what were some key things that you...
I think one of the big takeaways of the disconnect is a majority of the conversation was focused around live performances, mm-hmm. and just as like being a youth artist that is even trying to get to that point, that's a little bit disconnecting.
Right.
But on a larger scale, we're in the middle of a pandemic and live performances are not the main source of business for artists right now.
Yeah.
They are coming back. They're getting back into it. And that's not to say that live performances shouldn't be a focus at all, but it was definitely like the mainstay focus,
yeah.
where I think that there's a lot of other avenues, like social medias, that could be taken to really promote artists, mm-hmm. and put them on.
Yeah.
Bro. I think we definitely talk about education, and we've talked about the need for more education with youth artists and,
yes.
just educating ourselves about like the music industry and like things to... be aware of as we go through. And something big that we have been doing is obviously the internship with The Numbers here.
At The Numbers, yeah.
And it's just been a beautiful experience of like hands-on experience with the equipment, with having our show and audio editing,
Sound editing, even some places like video editing, mm-hmm. and such.
And so these are all things that like we want to highlight because it's like The Numbers is doing what should be done in the community, what we want to see,
yeah.
more of, mm-hmm. more internships, more support. Mm-hmm. And Ambush says something a lot. It was just like giving us the keys.
Right.
Like giving the youth the keys to lead things, to lead these conversations.
Right.
I think that's really important and more of that needs to be out there.
Agreed. I think a lot of it even comes into the concept of like Ambush, who's the boss here at The Numbers. He believes in really just giving people the full creative experience that he can. Like, so I feel like that's something that's missing. Like, we are all 20 here, all of us on who are speaking to y'all right now. We're all 20 years old. And, like, we're very young. Like, we're very young. But it's, like, we believe, like, it's taken us this long to even lead a project when it's, like, I know for a fact I was having these ideas when I was, like, in high school. Like, I've been wanting to do this my whole entire life when I was at college, when I was doing all that. So it's, like, it took me until I was 20 years old to have someone really be, like, I'm going to hand you those keys. And, like, very appreciative to have that now. I'm not even, like, in any way upset or like, angry about any previous experiences. I think it just shows that it's, like, there's so many people who are working really hard to, whether it be musically, whether it be entertainment-wise. And I think instead of being selfish about it, communities need to come together and really support the people that are putting in the hard work and, like, who are really trying to make it out.
Right. I think something that's really big is that older generations are always definitely trying to tap into what's hot and what's new with the youth. And David, you touched on, like, the need for, like, social media and all that. But yeah, like, just hand over the keys is the thing. We're here 20 years old at the numbers. We just finished our internship. We've done content creation, sound editing. Like, these are all things that we want to do and are going to be useful in our journey of, like, being artists ourselves.
Right.
So, yeah. Again, thank you to Music Portland for inviting us. It was a really good time to really, like, see the perspective and see what the older generation is talking about and what they want to do for the community.
And, yeah, again and again, like, we're more than happy to continue this conversation and, like, yes, obviously with Music Portland, but for anyone who knows anything or knows of any, like, who has any ideas similar to this or has budgets behind those ideas, like, our job here isn't to, like, just, we don't want to sit here and be like, oh, we're not going to come up with any answers. We're just going to address the problems. We're addressing the problems to come to answers. We have some ideas and answers ourselves, but some of you out there might already be doing what we want to be doing or are doing what needs to be done. And we would love to talk about that and expose what you guys are doing.
Let's talk about more so of the education and what should be more implemented in community. We talked about creating actual spaces.
Right.
So the big thing that we've talked about, and I know that the issue that we've ran into, is, like, mixing and mastering is huge.
Right.
In an artist development before somebody is even performing.
Right.
We want quality in our music, you know? A lot of people are artists. We're sensitive about our stuff. We want it to sound crisp and
clean.
Industry standards, man. So, yeah.
I feel like something that is brought up a lot in the conversation of mixing and mastering, which I agree with to a certain point, is why don't you just learn by yourself? And I think something that is forgotten for a lot of people is, take, for example, like, let's say you're young, like 15, 16. You've spent hours on hours every day sitting at your computer trying to understand what an EQ is, what a compressor is. And then, like, you're just not clicking with it because, like, maybe that's not how you learn. Mm-hmm. I think, like, there needs to be a space. I feel like the fact that I can learn, like, graphic design in a classroom at my high school, but I can't learn how to work in EQ. And, like, it just feels like my career isn't, the career that I want to go through isn't being taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And I shouldn't have to jump through a million hoops, like a million different music classes to get to that position. Like, this is one of the fundamentals of, like, recording music today. And, like, not everyone, a lot of people who mix and master don't know what, like, a scale is, like a piano scale, but they know how to make someone's voice sound really clear or how to compress 808 or how to do all these things that, like, mixing and mastering does for a song. So I feel like just creating an honestly, like, a place for young people, and not just young people, for anyone to learn, Like those types of skills is really important because people learn in different styles. Some people are hands-on, some people are visual, some people are auditory, and we need to be able to adhere to all of those different sides.
I have a question for you.
Please do.
Because you have been producing and getting, when we listen to our stuff, you've been getting our vocals right to a very good point. There's still definitely more work to be done.
Yes.
But how long did it take you to even get to that point of like the trial and error? Just for listeners' purposes of like seeing how long it takes.
When was freshman year of high school for us?
2016?
No, that was 2015, I think.
2015. Okay, 2015.
How many years is that? I'm bad at math. 6 years. It's been 6 years for me. And, like, I don't even think I'm pro. Like, I get our music to, like, a demo level. Like, that's how I feel. And, like, I'm always attempting to get better and better every day. But it's, like, I'm just, that's not my forte. Like, as simple as that, it's, like, that's just not my corner. And, like, I'm trying to make it my corner. And I think this is nothing I'm ever going to give up on. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's 6 years of my trial and error. And, like, and I even bring into this, like, we have an interview coming up with an artist named Bon Wavy. We've talked about him before. And we've actually already done the interview. Spoiler, sorry. But he kind of talks about how long he's been at the mixing and mastering. And it's, like, he said that he's just now getting comfortable at it. And, like, he's been doing music full time. Right. Like that's when like he can put all of his time into music. Mm. So it's like obviously these things take time, and like I'm not saying like we should expect for everyone to understand the process of mixing and mastering or like even like be able to put all their time into it. I just feel like, you know, like it there should be programs that allow people to at least get their stuff tested to learn what they're doing wrong.
To learn what sounds good with their voice.
Right.
I think that's something that I think as you grow as an artist, you learn what is what you're comfortable with and right. what sounds good. And like, yeah, it's a really good skill to even have, just know how to record yourself. I think something that I kind of just reflected on in hearing you talk about like how long it has taken you. I remember, cause I don't mix or right. master or anything like that. I fiddle around with beats here and there. But, like, I remember, like, specifically, like, in my city, I was, like, a young kid that was, like, trying to, like, go to places that, like, I could record or do whatever. And it just seemed like there wasn't all that much help or guidance. And that's separate from Portland because I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, but it's still a thing with like youth artists trying to figure out like how they can like really like
go
get into
this process. Because it's like, yeah, not everyone is. I think something I'm a big believer in is I truly believe every artist should be able to record their own music, however that may be. I think recording and, like, obviously mixing and mastering are very different. Mixing and mastering are completely different. They're both separate beasts. But I think it should be possible. We should be able to have the keys and be able to teach people how to record themselves. Right. Like, I feel like that should be an open-ending conversation because it's, like, it's not as easy as it seems. Like, yes, a lot of people do it. I've done it for years. But it's, like, to even get to the point where I am now, again, that's 6 years of time. And I feel like, again, even talking about Bon Wavy again, it's like that was 2 years for him doing it full time. I feel like there should be some help from peers, older people, whether that be in the sense of a space, because like we haven't even broken to the whole conversation of what the space could be. But I think like that for a lot of people is like the kicker. Like we hear new music, like people will send us their music or we will hunt for new artists. And like a lot of the times, one of our biggest critiques is like, oh, like the mixing is kind of off.
Right.
Yeah. I think that definitely having a space for it really helps you learn a lot faster. And I think that solves a lot of problems too. That like one of the things that we've talked about is just kind of frustrations that it doesn't feel like music artistry is really treated as much of like a 9-to-5 job as it could be and should be, that we should have more opportunities or at least more awareness of opportunities in different ways that, like, we can do those sort of things mm-hmm. and we can have those connections. We can build up our skills quickly with other people. We can get this, like, ground level of work and really just start, like, making a profession out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the thing, man. Like, there's kids coming out of high school that don't necessarily want to go to college, but right. specifically this mask is tough.
Yeah.
Specifically, just want to record, just want to get better at their music and want to build themselves as a brand and an artist. Mm.
Again, this is like a bigger gripe in general, and this could even like take up a whole topic of an episode, but just something to introduce is like, again, this was something that was actually brought up in the Music Portland meeting that I was very appreciative of. Like, you go to school, let's say you're a high schooler, there's no music classes other than like band. There's nothing that helps you. Band and choir, not everyone can sing, not everyone can play an instrument. Some people really spend time working like on a MIDI piano and don't know anything about theory but know what sounds good. Some people are rappers, some people are like, what's the word? Ugh, I lost it. Hyper pop artist, where it's like you just don't like music is so non-traditional now to the point where it's like I feel like we need that representation in classrooms again.
Definitely.
If I can take a graphic design class in high school, if I can take a foods class, if I can take many different types of art classes, mm-hmm. but I can't take a class that like lets me express myself musically, creatively, that feels kind of weird.
Real. And that's the thing, too. It feels like, at least in the space of, like, education or, like, public school, that of my knowledge, that things still seem very traditional. Of like, you either choose band or orchestra.
Right.
Half of the kids in the class don't know what they're playing or, like, don't want to be playing it. The other half is, like, they've been doing this for X amount of years and want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But you do have those kids that are in between that, like, maybe they rap and maybe they just fiddle with beats.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just like to introduce like maybe a class that's like music production or like just teaches kids to record themselves.
Right.
Like that's like a step in the right direction.
You could teach so many people like just the basics in 1 year, have them making, not even in a year, excuse me, in one semester, have them making like the music that they enjoy in one semester. And like, there's, I know for me, like I had a film class and it was like, the film class was in like three different pieces. Like I took a new class every term that led into like me making like a short film for that class.
Mm.
So it's like, I feel like we should have the same thing for like people who want to make music.
It'd be a really cool idea for like there to be like community centers or a space to allow people to come in, record, or learn mixing, mastering, whatever they want to do as far as like music, get help with promotion, get help with understanding the business.
Right.
Maybe that is just like they have a membership that's like $15 or $5 or free for like high school students.
Mm.
And that is just like the gateway.
Agreed. I think something you brought up just now that I really think like we need to emphasize is, okay, so not everybody is having the same issues when it comes to the creating of the music, but promotion and business education. These are two of the biggest things. People don't know what a 360 deal is. People do not know how to promote themselves on the internet. A lot of people don't know that playlists are a really good way to promote yourself. A lot of people don't know about the music business and what you need to sign, what brand deals are, all of these different things. In a space, in an ideal space, or even like whether it be an internship, a mentorship, shadowing, we need to also promote these types of lessons because these are what will make and break people's careers.
Real.
Very real.
At the end of the day, you are an artist and you are creative and you're making your music. But at the end of the day, it's the music business.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, artists are business.
Mm-hmm.
Like simple as that.
We got to treat it as like we need to prepare people because the business, like we understand that the industry is not easy. Like we know that we can't sit here and be like, everyone's going to be able to blow up and become popular. But I think it's not in the sense of making it easy, but preparing people. Like, if you have the talent, if you have the good creations.
Knowing your worth.
Knowing your worth. Like, I feel like it is less of a shot of being like someone who, it should be more like someone who's really talented should have the potential to do something with that talent. Less jump through all these hoops and then go through the wrong hoops because someone didn't tell them like, oh, that's going to be a bad deal. And then never go anywhere. I feel like we should be able to teach people and then let them build their own decisions based off of that.
Right. I think especially with focusing on like financial literacy and like how people can be able to make money for themselves, that if you have a really good work ethic, that you're going to show up and you're going to be doing whatever it is that you do every single day and you're good at it, you should be able to make money off that. And like, yes, there should just be more available lessons or the ability to find those lessons from people, that you really can just take it as a serious job and just put your hours in and really get your worth out of it.
Yeah. Agreed.
At the end of the day, if you're working for yourself, if you're working for what you do, the music you're putting out, the your passion, like that, if you're really about it, that's
right.
That's easy.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also, something we had just talked about this, but like internships, as we said, we are at the numbers right now because we all picked up an internship, a paid internship at that. I think I'm allowed to say that. That was paid.
Yes.
Cool. A paid internship at that. That is so important. If you are taking people under your wing, whether that be if you're interning people, pay them. If you are giving them a mentorship, really give them the keys. Let people shadow you. If you are a creator and you say, man, I want to help other people, these are the avenues that you have. Open up a program saying, I'm mentoring X amount of people. I'll let X amount of people shadow me. This, my studio is taking X amount of interns and actually paying people. Because that adds a whole different type of drive to everything that you're doing.
Right. And I think a part in that too, in our Music Portland conversation, we had like broken out into an after party and we had brought that up, like just the access of different mentorships and things. And there was somebody there that they were talking about that, I don't remember specifically what it was that they were teaching. I think it was mastering.
Yeah, mixing and mastering.
Yeah, that like there are the people that are like looking for it and there are the people that are giving it out. We just really need to start
connecting
that.
I want to ask you a question.
Please, please, please.
Because you know a lot of people.
I do.
We know this. What would you say has been like one of your best moments of like networking or even like something where you feel like was a great opportunity to like meet more people and expound like your fan base?
Ooh. Okay. That's a rough one. Because there's been a few different places. And like, this is a tough one to answer. There are experiences when I was younger in high school that I had, whether that be through performances, whether that be through, there were certain shows that were on that were thrown and like people who were there, art creatives. I do not want to though. I will shout those out for the artists and the creatives who were there, but for the person who planned them and for the events that were planned, the person who planned them is now someone I do not support and I do not believe anyone should support. So I still value those moments for the people that I met because they were like art events and there was a lot of artists. I can say, here's where I will give a shout out to, the Aquarium. They are an artist group who would throw performances, who would focus on bringing together queer and POC people to do these performances. At their events, whether I was performing or not, that was just an easy way to meet young people in the community. Mm-hmm. And this was curated by young people, by the way. Not a lot of the older audiences were connected, but like that was created by young people. So like Shout out to the Aquarium. Please follow them on Instagram. They're great people. I would definitely say connection wise also. I'm missing a big one. Okay. Honestly, kind of meeting the people through Burn Money. Burn Money is a local label in Portland, and I've met a few of the people there, and they've been really kind, they've been really cool. And like, I've met like a decent amount of people through there. Like, I met Skelly, I obviously met Jason, I met McConan. Like, these are all people who have like continued to just like support and come through and like continue to post like whatever I'm doing. So like, shout out to them. They've been like really helpful on a lot of stuff. So like, yeah, I would say a lot of public events. I think my first Music Portland meeting, it introduced me to Ambush. Mm. I met people from Friends of Noise through there. So it's like almost like even like just showing up for like random events and just like really being like, hi, this is my name, this is what I do. I would love to like see what you're up to. Cause like a lot of the times, if you just like trade Instagrams with people, like people want to share what they're doing and then you get to share what you're doing. And it's like just a trade.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because you talked a little bit about like promotion and marketing, and you have a unique experience because you've been in Oregon. You've been doing music for several years now at Oregon. What are some things that you would like advise to younger artists to like help mitigate some issues that you faced?
Okay. First and foremost, I feel like a lot of the times, I'm so sorry, I hit the microphone. A lot of the times, let me run this back. If you're going to source from other people, if you can, pay them. And that is one of the biggest issues, because there isn't a lot of free things out there. But a lot of it comes into the sense of investments for yourself, but also knowing your worth. If you expect to be paid correctly for what you're doing, pay people yourself. And sometimes that's not always what happens. I've gotten a lot of free help throughout my time, but a lot of good things have come from me actually putting money towards other people. But if you can't do that, then I implore everyone, because this is like one of my biggest mistakes. Just put your stuff out there. I feel like something that is really easy to regret is not getting, you have the access to a plethora of free feedback by just putting out a song. And like, that is stressful. I imagine that is a million times stressful to do that. But you only get better by getting that feedback and by knowing what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. And a lot of the times you get opportunities. You don't start getting promotion or help without the opportunity of like putting this stuff out there. And now to just kind of shift it into like the conversation of promotion, try and apply for playlists if you can. There's a lot of free playlists out there that people are giving out free spots for. That's kind of like the new wave of how a lot of people are getting discovered. If you can get on magazines or blogs, that's another way. Make music videos, because like, that's just like, you never know who's going to pick that up. You never know who's going to pick up your content. So I feel like quality, yes, is important, but also give yourself the room to grow. You're never going to get it perfect the first time through, and you need to be able to actually grow and like put stuff out. Like, just be brave enough to sit on stuff. If you don't like it 2 years later, delete it. But at least you got the feedback. At least you got the opportunity to be better. And like, I do believe work at your craft, work really hard at your craft, go in, but also give yourself the room to grow.
Yeah. I think that was a really interesting point of just like putting out the content. Cause I'm even thinking about a lot of the things that we do in like discovering new artists, that a lot of times we'll just like sit around and like watch YouTube videos and things. Mm-hmm. And I think just having a lot of different avenues of people being able to find your stuff does a lot for you right. to be able to grow and develop.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is me trying to give y'all, because what I know what we're trying to do with this episode is really like ask the community to give, to help us give our younger audience members the keys to really start doing, like, getting the quality that y'all deserve. But I'm really trying to tell y'all, if you don't have money, because I didn't have money, if you don't have the skills to mix and master, because I didn't have that, if you can't make beats, there are free YouTube beats out there. Like, it's not going to be perfect the first time through. It will never be perfect the first time through. I genuinely believe work at it as much as you can. But, like, if you like something that you did, put it out there, because you never know, everyone else might like it too.
And that's our show. You can follow my Spotify at ZGen4 to find a playlist that has new upcoming local artists that we update every week.
And y'all can find those same playlists on my Apple Music at Taya_Simone.
We really wanted to emphasize the dialogue aspect of this episode. So if you know anything about local groups that are trying to help local artists, if you're an artist yourself, or you just want to try and help out in any way, shape, or form, please make sure to stay in contact with us. You can follow me on Instagram at king_e.d.o, and you can email me at my numbers email, kingedo@thenumberswithaz.fm.
You can follow me on Instagram at serendipity_Solsra, and you can hit my numbers email, solsra@thenumbers.fm.
You guys can all hit me on Instagram at Taya_Simone, and you can email me at SimoneTheWaterBearer@thenumbers.fm, numbers with a Z.
Lastly, you can find The Numbers on all social medias at TheNumbersFM with a Z, and you can go to our website, www.thenumbers.fm with a Z. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to y'all next week.